Join Dr. Ed Bulkley right now as we discuss today's subject, racism, discrimination, and hatred, on today's edition of Return to the Word.
We're so glad to have you with us here today on Return to the Word. We hope you'll stay with us as we talk about the subject that is on the hearts of many even today, because it's Martin Luther King Day. And there is a lot of racism that still exists in our world, so much discrimination, cruelty, hatred that has gone on, and we're going to be discussing that issue today, and we hope that you will stay with us and that you will join us by way of phone a little later on. If you have a comment or question regarding this, maybe we'll be saying some things that will spur some thinking on your part, maybe some emotion on your part as well. You may disagree with some of the things we have to say, but feel free to voice that. We encourage you, especially if you disagree, to call us, so long as you are kind in your manner. You don't start cursing at us, you don't yell and that sort of thing. If you treat us in a civil fashion, then of course we'll give you your hearing as well. If, on the other hand, you decide that you cannot contain yourself, then we have to push the off button, and it's not something that we desire to do, but we love to have you join with us.
So about as far as they can go, they can call us old people, and that's about as much as
we'll
take.
That's borderline.
Right? That's borderline. Okay.
That's borderline. We may not. I will keep my hand close to the button even for that. I don't know if you have seen the article on this. This was on the internet this morning out of New York, Associated Press. It says New York Times editorial published on his final Sunday in office, President Clinton urged the incoming administration to establish a commission to study such election reforms as making Election Day a national holiday and restoring the rights of felons to vote.
Oh, my.
Well, you've got to ask yourself, why is he so concerned about restoring the rights of felons to vote? Could it be that he is possibly going to be indicted on a felony? Is that a possibility? You say, well, I don't really think he's worried about that. Then I would ask you, why is the White House rushing to wipe clean the hard drives of computers used by the president and his aides, which is, by the way, against the law? That is against the law to do. Normally, what they do is they, according to the WorldNet Daily, employees leave the White House with a snapshot of the contents of their hard drives and store them as part of official records as required by law. Then they reformat the hard drives for the next users. But according to Judicial Watch Incorporated, political aides have ordered computer workers to first run the hard drives through a software program which wipes clean the drives so the next administration cannot retrieve any files. They're starting with the hard drives of the most important people first, the White House lawyers, and working their way down, and they're working through the weekend. It's the equivalent of burning records, according to our sources who are White House employees. The records are key to Judicial Watch's Filegate lawsuit against the White House. General Counsel Larry Klayman said he passed the tip on to U.S. District Judge Royce Lamberth last Friday. Calls to the White House were not returned by the deadline for the news. What a shock. They did not return the calls. Is it possible? That's one reason why he is so concerned about the felons. I doubt it. What about this article out of Raleigh, North Carolina? 12 of the most popular science textbooks used at middle schools nationwide are riddled with errors, a new study has found. Researchers compiled 500 pages of errors, ranging from maps depicting the equator passing through the United States. You did not know, did you, that we lived right on the equator?
Didn't know that.
Well, according to some of these science books that have come out, these are the same science books, by the way, that claim that we evolved from a primordial soup on up through the monkeys. And you're not to question that, folks. That's science. Science at work here in Denver, right on the equator. We'll be back in just a few moments. We have other issues to talk about today: racism, discrimination, and hatred. Stay with us.
Welcome back. Return to the Word with Pastor Ed Bulkley. Today we're talking about racism, discrimination, and hatred.
I believe that racism is wrong, regardless of the source. whether it happens in Africa, whether it happens in Europe, whether it happens in the Middle East, here in America, whether it happens in China, it's wrong. God's word is very clear about that, and yet we are seeing racism continue, and I believe at a growing rate here in America. It's strange because here we are celebrating, many are, the Martin Luther King Day in honor of Martin Luther King, who did take a stand against the racism in America in the 50s and 60s. It had really come to a head then, and I want to honor him for that, the fact that he took a stand. I am distressed about the other issues in his life, some of the immoralities, things like that. But when it comes to this issue, we need to recognize that he certainly did take a stand. Now, my concern is this. I believe there are some black leaders today who are promoting racism and are hurting their own people. And I really want to hear from some of our black listeners, because I would love to hear your take on this. See, I think Jesse Jackson is doing a disservice to you. I think every time that he jumps on something for, in my opinion, self-promotion, as opposed to really caring about the down and out, I think he's harming you. I think the issue of preferential treatment in entitlements and in college entrance exams and things like that, that's where they're continuing to say, we've got to give black people preference in this because of the sins of the past. I think that's wrong. I think that's hurting the black race instead of helping them, instead of teaching them that the opportunities are there. You need to compete fairly across the board. I think it's sad when, if somebody disagrees with an appointment of a black judge, he is immediately called a racist, as they're trying to do with Senator Ashcroft. I think that's wrong. There are some black judges who are coming to his defense, by the way, saying this is not fair and it's not true, that he has not demonstrated racism in any sense of the word because he opposes this black judge, then they're trying to label him as a racist. Actually, it has more to do with the fact that he is opposed to abortion, that many of those on the liberal side are opposed to him, in my opinion. I think that when they use the trump card of racism again and again and again, it dilutes it and it makes it less effective. And frankly, I believe that there are more and more people who are getting tired of this racism card being played all the time, so that no matter if you disagree with someone who is black in the political realm, you're immediately called a racist. That's wrong. That is racist in and of itself. If there is racism going on today in regard to Ashcroft, for instance, it's on the very fact that he's being called a racist because he disagreed with a black. That's racist. I mean, that very idea that you cannot dispute someone who, unless, for instance, it's somebody that you don't, who's a conservative black, then you can, mm-hmm. It's all right. Now you can dispute him. You can trash their character and their record if they're conservative, because they're not really black. I think that's wrong. God's word talks about this type of discrimination, and it is, we're told very clearly this is wrong. James chapter 2, if you have your Bible, it tells us, my brothers, as believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, don't show favoritism. Now, that, how could it be any clearer than that, folks, and how anyone can call himself a Christian and be racist? Anyone who can call himself a Christian, if you call yourself a Christian and you are racist in your attitudes toward, I don't care who it is. I don't care whether they're Chinese, I don't care whether they're Korean, whether they're Hispanic, whether they're Native American, Indian, mm-hmm. whether they're black or what, I don't care. If you are doing that, it's sin, according to God's word. And sin bears evil fruit, and it will affect you personally. It will affect your home. It will affect your marriage. It will affect your children, and it will infect your children as well if you're hateful in your attitudes toward others for any reason, but especially for something as neutral as their color, their culture. Mm-hmm. My goodness, to look down on someone because they're black or brown or white or red or yellow. To look down on someone because of that, or to think that they're less human, to think that they're less intelligent or more intelligent because of a racial characteristic, is absolute foolishness. And it's wrong. That's why James is writing about this. He says, don't show favoritism. He gives an illustration. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in shabby clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, here's a good seat for you, but you say to the poor man, you stand over there, or sit on the floor by my feet, have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Don't we have that in America today in our judicial system, judges with evil thoughts? People who are totally unfair. Now, you talk about hate crimes. Matthew Shepard and how that was trumpeted all across America, and yet when you hear of a homosexual attacking someone, murdering, that's not a hate crime. See? The news of four or five young people who were slaughtered, murdered horribly. I can't even go into the details. It's so ugly. In Omaha. Murdered by some black men. Now, had it been reversed, it would have been a hate crime. But because they were white, it's not a hate crime. I'm saying that's wrong.
That's right. Something's wrong with that, where it should be applied equally to everyone. If we kill someone, if we maim someone, in the same way, it doesn't matter what your race or color is, that's just plain wrong. Now, Pastor, I would like to ask you about something here where it talks about paying special attention to the man wearing the fine clothes as opposed to the poor man. I don't think this means that every person that comes into a fellowship that I would value their opinion in the same way. Let me illustrate that. If there's someone that's been coming faithfully for 10 or 15 years at the church, they pay their tithes and offerings. These are people who have been very much involved in the ministry, and they have an opinion about something that should be done. I think that's different than somebody who walks in the door and looks at this passage and says, hey, you need to value my opinion just as much as you do anyone else. I think there's a difference between valuing the person and valuing the opinion, because opinion, when you and I value someone's opinion, it comes because of trust. I just wanted to get your thought on that.
Well, I do think that there are certain issues that you have to take into account. I think he's talking about arbitrarily dismissing mm-hmm. someone because of their appearance, because of their wealth or lack thereof. And I've seen reverse discrimination. Because someone's wealthy, then you dismiss them because somehow that's wrong, that they should be wealthy. I think that is discrimination. It's wrong. It's sinful. But does that mean that we're not to take into account service or sincerity? What if you have a poor man who comes in and he shows total disrespect for others in the congregation?
Right.
Does that mean we're not to say to him, hey, don't do that? Are we not allowed to correct him because he's poor? No, you're discriminating at that point if you don't correct him because you're treating him specially because he's poor. Or what about a black person who comes in into a white congregation? And people are terrified to offend him, to correct him. Let's say that he happens to do something that is just totally irreverent or out of line. Does that mean you're not allowed to say, hey, my friend, that is not allowed here? You're afraid that you're going to offend him and you just don't want to be called a racist? No, you are becoming a racist by not disciplining him, by not treating him mm-hmm. the way you would anyone else. I'm deeply offended that someone treats a black or a white or a red or brown, anyone, as though I dare not say anything here. I can't say anything because they might be offended and then somebody might call me a racist. I'm saying, wait a second. This is a child of God. And I will tell you, if somebody comes into our church, regardless of the race, I don't care what color they are. Frankly, I don't care.
Right.
I just don't. We have people from different races, and I must tell you, they're just wonderful.
Amen.
We have some Japanese people in our church I just think are so precious. They love the Lord Jesus. I just love them. We have Hispanic. We have black. I don't care. But no matter who they are, if there is sin in their life and it's impacting the church, I'm going to confront them. I don't care who they are, and I don't care whether they're rich or poor. We've had some folks leave our church who were extremely wealthy. And you might think, boy, treat them with kid gloves because they could come and help pay the bills. No. No, we are to treat them like everyone else. And if they're right, they're right. If they're wrong, they're wrong, according to God's word. and you treat them accordingly, and you discipline or you reward based on God's word, not based on their finances and their wallets. You just, it's wrong. Racism, discrimination, and hatred are wrong no matter what. And so we have to treat everyone with equal love, and we also have to treat them with equal discipline if it's required. We'll come back, talk some more about this in just a moment, then we'll open the phone lines and give you an opportunity to join with us. Maybe we've riled you up just a bit.
Welcome back. We turn to the Word with Dr. Ed Bulkley. Today we're talking about racism, discrimination, and hatred.
During the break, Alton, Ray was talking with me. He's one of our elders, and he was reminding me of a time that we had a family visit our church that just happened to be black. Delightful family. Frankly, we wanted them to come and be part of our church very, very much. They were a special family and very talented in so many ways. Well, we went to visit, and in our conversation, of course, found out that doctrinally we're not on the same page. Mm-hmm. And they chose not to come to our church. But I don't even know how we got on the subject when we were there, but the mother happened to make reference to the fact that racism swings both ways, that you know, that there are some who are black who are just as racist as those on the extreme racist side of the whites. And both are equally wrong. It's just wrong. And for people to expect special treatment because they're one color or another, that's wrong. To give preferential treatment or less than equal treatment to someone because of their color is just wrong. And we all know that. We mm-hmm. know that instinctively. We know it as well as God's word telling us. But he says here that we are to avoid that. He says in James chapter 2, verse 5, listen, my dear brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised those who love him? Do you know where I think some of the worst discrimination takes place is economic discrimination? Mm-hmm. I think it comes against those who are poor more in many ways than against people regardless of their color. And unfortunately, because of past policies and because I think of continued racism that in many ways is crippling the black community, there are many in the black community who are poor. But I must tell you, even as I heard on the news this morning, that there are more whites in poverty than are blacks.
Interesting.
In poverty. Mm-hmm. That's an interesting thought. Regardless of the color, however, it comes down to this. Are we going to treat someone who is poor with the same respect that we give to someone who happens to be rich? And it may not have been through his own doing that he's rich. Could be that he inherited wealth, didn't go out and earn it on his own, didn't make it through his own hard work or intellect, walked into it, but he's treated with deference and great respect because he's wealthy. And you look at the Rockefellers, for instance. You know, the current generation of the Rockefellers, did they earn it through their own business acumen? Not necessarily. In many cases, they walked right into it, and yet people just treat them as superiors because they're wealthy. I look at the British House of Royalty. Do you know there's a move in England among many people now saying it's time to end the whole system of royalty? But I've got to tell you, though I agree with them, I mean, I think the whole issue of royalty is sheer nonsense, especially when you observe their lives. And genetics have not always been kind to royalty. I'm just going to put it that way. But especially in recent years. But you look at it and you say, should they be honored because they're wealthy? I mean, Queen Elizabeth, one of the wealthiest women in the world, she inherited this wealth and has continued to enjoy it. Is she superior to the average woman in England? No, not necessarily. It's just we have discriminated, haven't we? We've given to the wealthy great respect. But I must tell you, if they wipe out the system of royalty in England, which maybe someday they will just have another system of discrimination. We have it here in America. We have our royalty, so to speak. Oh, we don't call it that, but we give special privileges to politicians. We give special mm-hmm. privileges to movie stars and to the rock stars. And you go on and on. I mentioned I mentioned the bird legs of one of the rock stars last week, Mick Jagger. Somebody mentioned later after the program that they had probably never seen a homelier person. Now, in England, that would be a compliment. Here in America, that's not a compliment. Mm-hmm. And you look at it and say, well, why then were women attracted to him? Was it because of his fantastic good looks and his incredible physique? I don't think so. What was it? He was rich. And because of riches, he's powerful. That's what attracted them. Did they not then become judges with wrong motives? And he says in verse 6 of James chapter 2, you have insulted the poor. How have they insulted them? Well, if you tell a poor man, come sit by my feet, haven't you insulted him? Haven't you said, you're not as valuable as this rich man over here? And the poor person may have more native intellect. He may have more skill and more talents, but circumstances of life have been very difficult for him. Maybe things beyond his control. What about a medical disaster? I mean, this is beyond his control, but it has put him behind, even to the extent where some are actually forced into bankruptcy because of our system. I don't agree with the system of bankruptcy, but I must tell you, some people are placed in there against their will. I mean, there are some, I know of some who mm-hmm. who had to declare bankruptcy. They were forced to because the creditors simply would not work with them.
Right.
And they came and said, I will pay you back every cent if you'll give me time. They wouldn't, and they were forced, legally forced into bankruptcy. What do you do? And here's a person now who has gone through this, and others look down on him as though he's a rotten manager of his business. Maybe it was totally out of his control. God says we've got to be so careful in our judgment of others and how we treat them. And he says if you treat this poor person, you have insulted him. And he says, is it not the rich who are exploiting you? Are they not the ones who are dragging you into court? Are they not the ones who are slandering the noble name of him to whom you belong?
I love that verse right there. That one stands out to me. That's the whole issue behind this this passage, in my opinion, is not to slander the noble name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one we belong, because of hatred, racism, or discrimination.
And if we do, if we are hateful toward others, regardless, we are slandering the name of the Lord Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
If we are discriminatory toward anyone, rich, poor, white, red, whatever, if we are discriminating against them, we are slandering the name of our Lord Jesus. That's wrong. If we are racist in our heart, he says, you call yourself a Christian? He says, you're slandering the name of Jesus. Verse 8, if you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, which is love your neighbor as yourself, you're doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. I was reading the story last night of the murder of Mr. Edgar, all of a sudden my mind just went totally blank. I know you're enjoying that, aren't you? You like that.
I'm really not.
Medgar Evers, wasn't it? I believe so. He was a civil rights activist. And it's a tragic story how he was murdered, and his murderer openly bragged about it for nearly 30 years before he finally was convicted and sent to prison.
Wow.
And I was reading about how he was boasting about killing this person. He used, of course, epithets that are so evil. Oh, my goodness. People, if you can't speak of somebody else with respect, you know, even if you disagree with them, But to curse them and to say that you can murder them just like you would kill an animal and not feel any guilt whatsoever, he says, the fellow who killed him.
Mm.
He said he was trying to tell people at a rally. He says, you know, go ahead and kill him. You need to feel no guilt whatsoever. And this man called himself a Christian. He's not a Christian, dear ones. You cannot be a follower of Christ and be a racist. You cannot be one who discriminates against others and are full of hatred. Some would say, well, how in the world could there be so many Christians who were fighting for the South in the Civil War? There were a lot of other issues involved in that, I will certainly not defend anyone who was racist, regardless. What do you think about this? Why don't you give us a call right now? 1-888-GOD'S-WORD. That's 1-888-463-7967. We'd love to talk with you.
Today on Return to the Word, we're talking about racism, discrimination, and hatred, and you can join in our discussion by calling us in the Denver Metro Region at area code 303-451-LIFE. That's 451-5433. And anywhere else in the country, you can call us toll-free at 1-888-GOD'S-WORD. That's 1-888-463-7967. Now, Pastor, before we went to break, you made a statement, see if I can recall it correctly. You said that you cannot be a racist and be a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, do you believe a person could be a Christian and have struggles with racism?
Oh, yes. A person could be a very immature Christian,
mm-hmm,
and still have some of the sins of the world in his life, and one of them may be racism, but I still hold to the doctrine you cannot be a follower of Christ. You cannot be obedient to the Lord, mm-hmm, Jesus and be a racist. You just can't. And you cannot be an obedient child of God and dismiss the scriptures that talk about this. Now, I know there are a lot of issues people could bring up about slavery and the past and all, and how the Old Testament slavery was permitted. There are a lot of issues like that. I understand.
Well, it really smacks in the face of what Jesus said. He said that for even the Son of God came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. I think James 2 is saying it goes clear against the royal law of loving God and in loving your neighbor as yourself when a person gets involved in racism.
Absolutely. And by the way, even under the slavery of the Old Testament, there were very strict limits, mm-hmm, as to what you could do with your slave. I mean, there were some very, very interesting parameters that God gave us even in the Old Testament. Let's talk with J.M. in Denver. J.M., how are you today?
I'm doing pretty good. How about you?
Wonderful. Nice to hear from you. Go right ahead.
Sure. I'm in a car for us. I'm going to make this very fast or my wife will kill me. I have a question regarding racism.
Okay.
I hate verbosity, but I may have to indulge here to get my question really couched properly. You say that you cannot be a Christian and be a racist, and just succinctly putting it in those black and white terms.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, well then, what can you be as a Christian and still be performing some type of sin?
Well, you can't be an obedient.
Lying, such as stealing.
Mm-hmm.
Can you be a Christian and do any of those things?
Well, I said you cannot be an obedient Christian. I said you
no,
cannot
you
be a follower.
You can't be a Christian. That's the point I'm making here. I'm saying I don't care what the sin is. You can be it and still be a Christian. We're all of us in different various stages of and degrees of,
mm-hmm,
of becoming Christ-like. But let's go right to the scriptures. That answers everything.
Mm-hmm.
And the scriptures doesn't tell you slavery is wrong. However, it tells you a slave that doesn't do as a Christian who is a slave, that doesn't do the best for his master when he's not present as well as when he's present is wrong. So what I'm saying is sometimes we try to simply become more godly than God. Don't lay how can I put this? So I'm not becoming verbose either. How much more can we do than to struggle and encourage others to struggle to become more Christ-like?
Mm-hmm.
There's every sin conceivable that we commit as Christians, and as soon as we acknowledge it and have nothing more to do with it, that should be the net result. But I will never tell anybody you cannot be a Christian and smoke. You cannot be a Christian and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That's just too much.
My God's
given me carte blanche. Carte blanche.
No, he hasn't.
There is nothing I'm not forgiven for, or in the future as well.
No,
and
no,
that's my point.
Jim.
I have to hang up now because
okay,
my wife's gonna kill me. But I'll listen to you on the radio.
All right, thanks. Bye-bye. He has not given you carte blanche, and that's why I will disagree with you very strenuously. God has not told us we can just do anything we want to do and call ourselves Christians.
Because that would not reflect a truly repentant heart, and it wouldn't reflect someone who's turned from self to God. That's what true faith is all about.
Absolutely. And when I said you cannot be a follower of Christ, that's exactly what I mean. And you cannot be an obedient Christian. If I didn't emphasize that enough, forgive me, I will reiterate that. You cannot be an obedient Christian and be a racist. You just can't. And I will stand beside that. And by the way, the Bible does condemn slavery. You say it doesn't condemn it. It does. Here in 1 Timothy, it talks about that very issue. 1 or 2 Timothy talks about those who are slave who are trading in slaves. I'll have to look for it here. But it talks about that in a term that is very critical, and is saying that it's wrong, saying that it's sinful in selling of slaves. So even in the New Testament, it was referring to it. I'll have to find that exact passage. But to suggest that it is not wrong is, especially in a day such as this. Now, how can it be justified in the Old Testament if you understand how the parameters of what you could do with a slave? You had to treat them with kindness. I mean, God had given many parameters regarding it. But again, I think I'm digressing at this point. But I would be very, very careful to say that I can do anything and can't. Well, I know what he's saying. James was saying, a Christian can sin any sin. A Christian still can truly believe in Jesus and commit murder, and still having been a follower of Christ, and maybe he sinned at that moment. Did he lose his salvation? No, that's not what I'm saying. And so I think that's what he's trying to say, is that there is no sin a Christian is not capable of committing.
Right, I think that's what he meant.
And if that's what you mean, I agree with you. Let's talk with Carrie in Wisconsin Rapids. Carrie, go right ahead.
Hi. I had a question about my son's Sunday school program. They seem to be not all together. I'll just tell you what happened. Okay. Last year, I volunteered that I'd go with my son to help him communicate with the class, since he has a speech problem.
Mm-hmm.
And this year when I sent him, I decided I was going to try it by himself, since he was doing really well in school, no problems there.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went to go pick him up, the teacher was like, well, he was so disruptive, he was not paying attention, you need to come with him or he does not come at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, well, he was running around the room, he wasn't paying attention. I'm like, this does not sound like my kid. She's
mm-hmm.
like, well, next time if he's going to stay, you need to stay with. And the other children who were running around, nothing was said to the mothers. It was only said to me. And I'm just like, this is not right. You do not tell one parent that you need to stay. And there's 8 kids in the class, and there's 5 helpers. And Sunday school is only an hour. And I'm just wondering, what do I tell these people? We have not gone back because I was so mad at what they said to me.
I'm sorry.
And I'm just, you know, my son loves Sunday school.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Saturday night, he knows when we go to that first day of Sunday school.
Carrie, can you stay with me?
Okay.
Can you stay? I'll put you on hold. We'll come back and talk about it afterwards, okay? You can give us a call right now, 1-888-GOD'S-WORD. That's 1-888-463-7967. Here in Denver, 303-451-LIFE. As soon as someone drops off, you give us a call. Lines are full right now. We'll be back in just a moment.
You can order a copy of today's program on cassette tape or CD by calling us at 1-888-GOD'S-WORD. And you can also write us here at Return to the Word. Our address is 11500 Sheridan Boulevard, Denver, Colorado, 80020.
Alden, just before we go back to talk with Carrie about her son's situation, I mentioned to J.M. that there is a verse in 1 Timothy, which you kindly found for me, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10, for adulterers and perverts, for slave traders and liars and perjurers, and for whatever else is contrary to sound doctrine. Now, it puts it right in this list.
Mm-hmm.
So to say that the Bible doesn't condemn slavery and slave trading is inaccurate. It really does. Now, Carrie, you were talking about the situation with your son,
mm-hmm.
and I just let me just try to put some perspective on it. If I were in that Sunday school class, and to try to help you think it through as well, the very first thing I would say, and I think you would agree with me, I hope you would, is that you would not want special treatment for your son one way or the other. Am I right?
Right.
You want him to be treated like everyone else.
Right.
Okay. See, that's fair. That's fair. There are some people who would say, well, because my child has had speech problems in the past, we need to recognize that he's got some emotional issues, and if he gets out of hand, we just have to kind of treat him a little differently. And I'm saying, no. No, we hold him to the same standards that we would the others. But if they're not doing that, if they're holding him to special standards and they're not holding the other children in the classroom, then that's wrong. So what needs to be done at this point is I would go sit in. I'd go observe. That's exactly what I would do. I'd say, well, you asked me to come in, and I did want it. And I'd give them 2 or 3 weeks to watch, because the first week they're going to be on their best behavior. But after 2 or 3 weeks, you're going to see what it really is like.
See, I was there for, I want to say, about 2 months before I tried this.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to give him 2 months into school because we wanted him to get used to going to school.
Sure.
And then with Sunday school, he was doing so fine. I'm just like, well, we'll try it.
Mm-hmm.
And that day, she was just, the teacher just said, you need to be here. She's like, we cannot control him. There is something wrong with your son. I'm like, no, there's not.
Yeah, I would talk with the teacher again. Maybe she was having a bad day. I'd go in and sit down and say, you know, I need to understand a little bit more what's going on. If indeed she treats you in a way that just shows you that she has a bad attitude, then I would go to the pastor and I would say, Pastor, I have a problem here and I don't know exactly how to handle it. I don't know how you would want me to handle it, but we want our child in Sunday school. We want him to be treated. And if you say this to him, by the way, Carrie, if you say to him, we don't want him to be treated any differently from the other children. If he is disobedient, we want that to be dealt with. That takes the sting out of it for any pastor if he looks at it and he says, well, now this woman is reasonable. That's how he's going to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to say, this woman is reasonable. Consequently, I'm willing to listen to what she has to say. If he gets the impression, whether it's accurate or not, that you're going to want special treatment, then that could color his thinking. But if you go in and you're saying, I don't want him treated any differently, if he needs to be disciplined, let them discipline him, but I don't want him to be treated differently the other way either. Most pastors are going to look at that and say, well, okay, this gal's got it together. I'm going to listen to her.
Okay.
All righty?
I mean, I've noticed, like, even though the other kids in the classroom, I mean, they are, you know, like, I don't understand that kids get out of hand.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's, you know, once the kids get out of hand, everything is going all to kaput.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they don't try to stop it. They just...
Well, and see, then that may need to be brought out, and it could be that they need a stronger hand in there, a teacher who knows how to deal with children. A lot of Sunday school teachers have been brought in. They just are willing to serve. Some are in there against their will. They've been drafted into the mode of Sunday school teaching, and maybe that person doesn't have the gift of teaching and ought to be doing something else in the church.
Okay.
All right?
All right, thank you.
All right, God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Let's talk with Jerry in Denver. Jerry, go right ahead.
Hi. I run a business,
mm-hmm.
and one of the things that I was going to bring up is the fact that, and you guys didn't really touch on this, but a lot of discrimination in a lot of cases comes about because of government rules and regulations.
Yeah.
For example, in the business community, and most people don't know this because they're not employers, you got to see the rules and regulations. If you were to hire somebody, or let's just say you were to hire somebody that's black,
mm-hmm.
and let's just say they're the last person hired, and all of a sudden you have to have some layoffs. Well, they can just say, hey, you're discriminating against me,
mm-hmm.
and they may want to take you to court.
Yeah.
The way it's set up, you know what? They decide to go to the Equal Opportunity Commission, and guess what?
Mm-hmm.
You're automatically considered guilty, and you have to prove your innocence
yeah.
instead of the other way around.
Yeah.
That's number one.
Yeah.
Number two, I know because I'm involved with a lot of large corporations, and we see all these companies in the United States moving outside the United States,
mm-hmm.
down to Mexico, opening up plants in China, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, there's more than one reason, but I've talked to a number of people, and one of the things is, the United States has made it so difficult for a lot of businesses, they just throw their hands up and say, that's it.
Yes.
We're shutting it down because they don't have time to deal with all the government rules and regulations.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously there could be environmental reasons. But one of the reasons, because I know of large companies that have done this, is all the red tape and rules and regulations concerning employment and putting people to work.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know...
Well, I agree with you. I think that's one of the biggest problems.
Why would you want to operate a business in this country?
I don't know. I honestly think it's so difficult today. I'm glad I don't have to. We're relatively free in a church to not have to follow some of those regulations. But I must tell you, I think that they're strangling American entrepreneurship here in this country. It just bothers me, and I don't know. I think you're going to see more and more of this taking place.
Well, let me ask you. I mean, along those same lines, how long is it going to be before... you guys say, you know, we do not want to have to hire a homosexual.
Yes.
You decide to employ somebody.
Yeah.
Okay. What's going to happen when you say, hey, you know what, we, you know, Scripture says this.
Yeah.
And we're not going to hire a homosexual.
Well,
find yourselves in court if you say no.
I'll probably have to go to jail.
Yeah.
Because, Jerry, I will not hire one.
Yes. And see, you know, it may not be there yet, but the way things tend to be going with the court system, it's just probably a matter of time.
I think you're right, unfortunately. So I'm hoping you come visit me. All right?
I will.
All right, Jerry.
Thank you.
Thanks for your call.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Let's talk with Ruth in West Allis. Ruth, go right ahead.
Hi, pastors. I just wanted to make a comment and for us to think about what does God say about mankind. Mm-hmm. And we have to go back to the scriptures most readily. And the first thing we have to remember is that we all came from one man, Adam, and so we all are sinners. So he's not a respecter of persons. Doesn't matter, man, woman, black, white, free, slave, handicapped. God does not put us on a bell plane or whatever you want to say. He judges us all the same. We all need a sinner. We all come to him the same way. And number two, he is not a respecter of persons, and he expects us to love one another, and that's how we need to treat each other.
Amen. Amen. Ruth, thank you. I've got so many callers, I'm going to move right on. Thank
Take
you.
Care.
God
Bye.
Bless. Bye-bye. Shane, go right ahead.
Yes. Hello?
Yes, we've got a little bit in the background. You can turn your radio down.
Yes, okay. Now, go ahead.
All right.
Yes, you were talking about if you're a racist, you can't be a Christian.
Keep in mind what I've said. You cannot be an obedient Christian.
An obedient Christian.
Yes.
Okay, now, there is, you know, like this big organizations like James Dobson and Pat from 700 Club and like John Ashcroft. I mean, this people say that they're Christians and they're right-wingers. They're way off on left field, and yet they have the power, the money, and everything to cover themselves up from being racist.
How do you figure? I've not seen in, and I'm, this will be unusual for many to think I'm defending James Dobson because I disagree with him on psychological issues, but I have never heard anything or seen anything in him that would tell me that he's racist.
Well, you know, how can I put it without you saying that he's not? You just know that he is because of the way that he carries his ministry.
Oh, wait. That's about as racist a statement I've ever heard.
No.
It would seem to me, Shane, that you're the racist, not James Dobson.
No. Why do you say that I'm the racist?
Well, because you're calling him a racist and you can't give any evidence for it. You're just simply saying just the way he carries himself. What do you mean by that?
But the program, like, for instance, he won't have any poor person in his program. It's usually the rich, powerful, and famous.
That's not true.
Huh?
That is not true.
You see the real poor and down to earth.
I have never,
because I listen to the other's programs all the time.
Well, he has had many very poor people on there, and I must tell you, I couldn't disagree with you more. And Shane, I've got to go on to someone else who is really going to make some sense here. Let's talk to Denise in Denver.
Hello?
Yes, Denise, go right ahead.
Oh, yes, hello. You know, I'm an African-American woman, and I have this dilemma, you know, with the founding fathers who were Christians, but, you know, a lot of them were slaveholders. And I'm trying, and every once in a while I try to reconcile and I just say, well, you know, maybe they're, you know, I mean, they may have been Christians, but they just, I mean, they're just sinners, I guess, just like everybody else.
Yes.
You know, but they still had good ideas, and a lot of those ideas are in place today, and they work.
Mm-hmm.
And boy,
how do we justify
it? I guess it just had to take, you know, about 90 years for slavery to be abolished.
Well, I think part of it, we do have to understand, Denise, the culture that they were in at the time. I don't defend it at all, by the way, but that is we are captives of our culture to a certain extent, and that was a culture they were in. We can look back and condemn them now. I still believe that even if they had truly understood the scriptures as I believe they should have, they would not have been, they would not have gone into that slave holdings.
Mm-hmm.
I have my ancestors came over in the 1500s. So far as I'm aware, none of them owned any slaves. Is it because that they didn't have the money? No, actually, my ancestor was quite wealthy. He could have, but he chose not to, and I think possibly because of his understanding of God's Word. That's all I can... Oh, Denise, I'm out of time.
Oh,
I'm so sorry. Listen, hey, will you call me back again?
Yeah, I will.
I hope you will.
Okay.
And thanks so much for calling
in
today. God bless you. Bye-bye. Well, I want to thank all of our callers, and Shane, even your... I disagree with you, okay? I just disagree with your position there, but I still, if we had more time, and on another call, I hope you'll call me back another day.
Thank you, Pastor, and thank you, listener and caller. And you can order a copy of today's program on cassette tape or CD entitled Racism, Discrimination, and Hatred by calling us at 1-888-GOD'S-WORD. You can also write us at Return to the Word. Our address is 11500 Sheridan Boulevard, Denver, Colorado, 80020. God bless you. We hope you'll join us again tomorrow at the same time here on Return to the Word.
We hope this tape has been helpful for you. You can request a copy of our tape catalog by calling us at 1-888-GOD'S-WORD. That's 1-888-463-7967. We have tapes, books, and videos in a variety of subjects. If you would like a copy of our free newsletter, we'd be happy to send one along for you. Call us at 1-888-GOD'S-WORD. 1-888-463-7967. And thank you for listening.